This is the son of PCJ.
On shortwave, AM, FM, and the internet, this is PCJ. Yeah! It's now time for the Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Perrone.
Oh no!
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome again to another edition of your program, Happy Station, from PCJ Radio. It's very nice to have you with us. Recently, somebody asked me the question via our Facebook page, do I not know if it's morning, evening, or afternoon? Well, to be perfectly honest, when this program does go out, it does go out in morning in some areas, afternoon in some places, and evening in others. So I think it's always best to have your bases covered. That's how I responded. They responded back, well, what if it's late afternoon or early evening? Well, then let me rephrase it and I'll start the show again. Good morning, good early afternoon, good late afternoon, good early evening, good late evening, and good evening. I forgot good early morning and good late morning. Anyway, that is neither here nor there. I don't know why, but sometimes we get funny questions. That was one of them. I thought it was just obvious that the show goes out at different times, but apparently not. We do know that there are some listeners who will listen to the show at various times, and a number of you have written back to me saying, is it possible to do a high-definition version of the show for download? Well, believe it or not, actually, that is something that I had looked at. The only problem, though, is if we do a high-definition version for download, depending on where you are, it could take up to an hour to download the show, which is kind of silly. You might as well just listen to it in real time in that case. In some places, it will take up to 2 minutes. I've just found on average, actually, that the people that do download this program in iTunes or via Stitcher spend at the most maybe 30 seconds is the fastest download that I've heard so far from a listener in Norway, to the longest right now of over 1 hour. Oh, they must be really a fan if they're going to spend over an hour to listen, to download. In where is it? In Botswana. Yeah, we have a couple of listeners in Botswana who download the program. Most of you in Botswana listen to us off shortwave. Yes, anyway. Good evening, good morning, and good afternoon once again. And for anything else in between that, it doesn't really matter. Anyway, let's begin right away with our first piece of music today. Here is the one and only Anne Margaret with Gimme Love. Gimme some more. Gimme Love, and Margaret. Now, I want to take a moment, actually, to tell you about the new B12 schedule for one of our programs that airs on the World Radio Network. And the program, of course, is Media Network Plus. There's two editions of the show. There's the weekly 30-minute edition, which airs on WRN, as well as through a number of partner stations, Sky Digital and Sirius in North America. And we also have the monthly 55-minute edition that airs on a number of partner stations. Now, for the weekly 30-minute edition, here is the following B12 schedule, effective October the 28th, which is last Sunday. Now, the show has moved from Saturday to Sunday to some target areas. First, we have Africa, Asia, and the Pacific. Media Network Plus is now heard at 15 hours UTC on Saturdays. That's 15 hours UTC on Saturdays for Africa, Asia, and the Pacific. For Europe, the program is heard on Sundays at 10 hours UTC. So for Europe, Media Network Plus is heard at 10 hours UTC for listeners in Europe who listen to WRN. For North America, the B12 schedule takes place this weekend, tomorrow, Sunday. Now, tomorrow is Sunday, or it could be yesterday, Sunday, depending on when you're listening to this program, either on a Saturday or Sunday. But Media Network Plus is now heard Sundays at 18:30 UTC. That's 18:30 UTC. Now, for more information about this schedule and for the new B11 schedule for Media Network Plus, you can go to the website for the program at www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus, all one word. That's www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus. Just the other day, we received an email, well, a few emails actually, from listeners that heard the interview that I did on Radio Japan's Media Watch. 2 weeks ago, Radio Japan was doing a feature on DRM, which is Digital Radio Mondiale. And for those who've been following my tweets and following some of the posts that we have at PCJ Media, as well as our Facebook page, you'll know how I feel about DRM. I think it's a fantastic technology. There's no argument there. The only place that I do argue is that, personally, I think it's a little bit too late. It's a little bit too late. There are still no receivers on the market, and the receivers that are available are either out of the price range of most consumers, especially in areas where DRM says it wants to promote itself, like in Brazil and India. It's certainly out of the price range of most average people there. Second problem that with the receivers is the quality. Now, we actually have three DRM receivers that we were playing with. We even sent one to Victor Gunatelica all the way in Sri Lanka to play with. And we had pretty much the same results. Now, the odd thing is there are people who are raving about this radio. They're saying it's excellent. And I'd like to know who these people are, because I'm reading these reviews, but we know nothing about them. You know what I mean? Really, it's almost like they're created or something, or they're living maybe within, 20 kilometers of the transmitter. But the transmissions that we tried picking up on DRM, including the analog shortwave dial of this radio, have been, to quote someone from Radio Australia, appalling. Yes, they use the word appalling. Anyway, you can find out all information, like I said a moment ago, about the WRN schedule for Media Network Plus, the B12 schedule. Time now for more music. Let's take a listen to Cab Calloway and a song that he became very well known for, Minnie the Moocher. Now, here's a question. Who else sang this song? He performed it in a TV show. See if you can guess who it is. But first, Cab Calloway.
Thank you. story about Minnie the Moocher. She was a red hot hoochie coocher. She was the roughest of his frail, but Minnie had a heart as big as a whale. Ho dee ho, dee ho,
ho dee ho, dee ho.
Ah dee ha, dee ha,
ah dee ha, dee ha.
Hey dee, hey dee, hey dee, hey.
Hey dee, hey dee, hey dee, hey.
Ho dee ho, dee ho, dee ho.
Ho dee ho, dee ho, dee ho.
She messed around with a bloke named Smokey. She loved him, though he was cokey. He took her down to Chinatown, and he showed her how to kick the gong around. Hey-dee, hey-dee,
hey-dee, hey-dee,
hey-dee, hey-dee. Oi, 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 oi,
oi. Oi, 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 oi.
Ay, 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 ay,
ay.
That she was needing. He gave her a home built of gold and steel, a diamond car with the platinum wheels. Hadi, 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 hadi,
hadi, hadi, hadi, hadi,
hadi, hadi, hadi, hadi, was a dozen courses. She had $1 million worth of nickels and dimes. She sat around and counted them all a million times. Ha, dee, ha, dee, ha.
Ha, dee, ha, dee, ha.
One and only Cab Calloway with Minnie the Moocher. Before we took a listen to that, I said that the song was also performed by somebody else in a TV series, and who was it? How many of you remember the TV series based on the P.G. Wodehouse books Jeeves and Wooster that starred Stephen Fry and Hugh Laurie? I can see some hands going up. I know that the show was seen in the United States and Australia as well. It was very well received and quite a lot of fun to watch. I have a couple of the episodes on DVD myself, but there's actually one episode where Hugh Laurie performs the song with Stephen Fry, and Stephen Fry plays Jeeves in the series, and it's quite of amusing to watch because Hugh Laurie is playing Betty Wooster. It's kind of a flake and all over the place, you see. It's wonderful. Yes, yes, absolutely fantastic. I don't know what that is about. Anyway, Heidi, Heidi, ho. He says, yes. Now, Jeeves, sing Heidi, Heidi, ho. And he goes, and a Heidi, Heidi, ho. And Jeeves goes, Heidi, Heidi, ho. If you check around on YouTube, just do a search for Hugh Laurie, Stephen Fry, Minnie the Moocher, and you'll come across it. If you want to get in touch with us, our email address is hs@pcjmedia.com. Let's have a little bit more music when we come back. Another installment of, I think we haven't done it for 2 weeks now, another installment of The Name Game with Bob Zanotti. Let's now take a listen to one of my favorite singers from Brazil. His name is Gilberto Gil. This is from a classic album released in the early 70s called Espresso 2222 with Chacleta com Banana.
Pop no meu samba quando o tio Sam pegar no tamborim. Quando ele pegar o pandeiro e usa bumba, quando ele entender que o samba não é rumba, aí eu vou misturar Miami com Copacabana. Chiclete eu misturo com banana e o meu samba vai ficar assim. Um batoqueiro raro, baco de gapapá, beru 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 bambapapá, beru 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 bambida. Quero ver a grande confusão. Bambanama, oh, iepa, nena, nena, amarop. É o samba rock, meu irmão. Mas em compensação, quero ver o bugue-ugue de pandeiro e violão. Quero ver o tio Sam de frigideira numa batucada brasileira. Quero ver o tio Sam de frigideira numa batucada brasileira. Babu do gapa pa piru go bapa ba peda pa 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 pa. Quero ver a grande confusão. Dedo bombar, aguma mamã, meira aguma, e aguma mamã, aguma, e agome mamã. É o samba rock, meu irmão. No meu samba, quando o tio Sam pega, 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 pega no tamborim. Quando ele pega no pandeiro e no zabumba, quando ele entender que o samba não é rumba, aí eu vou misturar Miami com Copacabana. Chiclete eu misturo com banana e o meu samba vai ficar assim. Badoguero, nero, ba, 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 be, ba, 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 de, ba, 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 ba. Grande confusão. Bado baba peado, barabo baba, perobamba, perobamba, pepapa. É o samba rock, meu irmão. É, mas em compensação, quero ver o bugue-ugue de pandeiro e violão. Quero ver o tio Sam de frigideira numa batucada brasileira. Quero ver o tio Sam de frigideira numa batucada brasileira. Vamos lá, Iga. Ba-ba-ba, 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 quero ver a grande confusão. Ba-bi-da-ba-be, ba-ba-bi-o, ba-ri-o, é o samba rock, meu irmão. Ah!
Gilberto Gil, from his classic 1972 release, Espresso 2222. That's the name of the album. The song was called Chicleta com Banana. And of course, he was singing in Portuguese, which is very different from Spanish. You can tell right away from listening to it. Some people said, oh, they can't tell the difference between Portuguese, Spanish, and French. And if you can't, well, you seriously have some problems. Anyway, time now for another installment of the Name Game with Bob Zanotti. Where is Bob this week? Well, he doesn't say, but if you know where it is, you write us and maybe you'll win something if you get the answer correct, if you're one of the first few people that write in. So here it is.
Altitude 2,473 meters, 8,100 feet. Welcome to the Name Game. This is Bob Zanotti, and I'm standing in Italy. And my arm, the other part of my arm, extended to our co-host today, Aubrey Diem, an old friend from Canton Valley, is in Switzerland, in one of the Alps' greatest, most famous passes. Do not expect a great deal of hints in this program, because it is so famous and so well known, it's a giveaway almost in itself. Aubrey, you're a retired professor of history and geography. You have lived in this area for many years. You have written a book, a novel, an historical novel, about the very place we're standing at right here.
I go back to 1954 when I was in the Valle d'Aosta studying as a student the political geography of Valle d'Aosta because it's a French-speaking area of Italy.
Aosta is the big town on the other side, the Italian end of this pass.
Correct. And I hitchhiked over to go to Switzerland for the first time this time of the year, which is just the end of September, beginning of October.
There is a pass and a tunnel. In 1962, I believe, they built an all-weather, all-year tunnel, which is very heavily used, very expensive, I might add, as well. But to go over the top here, this is something which should be seen. You can hear in the background, that is a tiny little brook, a stream, coming down from the mountains here, and there is a small lake here. And this is the international frontier between Switzerland and Italy, this brook that goes right through here. Now, the pass. We want to concentrate on this pass, an altitude officially indicated on the sign here on the Swiss side, 2,473 meters. The Romans opened this pass, which is why symbolically we're starting, at least I'm starting on the Italian side, and it takes us back to the history before Christ.
What was interesting is this was a main route for the Romans to go from Italy, which then, of course, was Roman Empire, into what became Switzerland, through to Aventicum and through to Augusta Raurica.
Now, Aventicum was the capital of Helvetia at the time.
And you can find Roman ruins there, and, of course, on the other side of the pass, you can see the Roman city of Octodorus. Today, it's Martigny.
Okay, on the Italian side, the city is Aosta, and the bottom of the pass on the Swiss side is Martigny in Canton Valley. Now, you're on the Swiss side, I'm still in Italy. Be interesting, if I did something wrong and they wanted to arrest me, I guess I'd be subject to Italian law.
Well, you could try it. There's always been a lot of smuggling of various things through the centuries over this pass, so the customs are well aware of this sort of thing.
Do you see up there, we're looking to the west, and I see some very interestingly constructed stone constructions up there with windows in them. That looks to me like something, maybe a Swiss fortification, possibly from the Second World War, and it literally is just barely on the Swiss side.
You have the same thing as you go down the pass to Aosta. There are also so-called pillboxes. And on the other side, there was very brutal fighting the last year of the war between 1944 in 1945, between partisans and fascists and Nazis.
Now, I think the opening of this pass goes back to 47 BC, and then Napoleon came through around the year 1800, is that right?
1803, I think. And he came from the Swiss side and went to Italy, and he won this very famous Battle of Marengo, and whenever you eat chicken Marengo, it was named after the battle, and Napoleon liked chicken there, so I guess they call it chicken Marengo, and they have risotto Marengo too, I discovered.
Well, Napoleon, when he came through, left a lot of bills, which I think are still partially unpaid,
yeah,
right?
They still have not been paid. And Mitterrand, he visited...
the former French president.
Yeah, he visited Bourg-Saint-Pierre before he died, and they presented him with a bill that Napoleon had never paid.
Now, Bourg-Saint-Pierre is a tiny village on the Swiss side just below here, and that's not where we are, not where we are at all. I think those bills may have been symbolically paid up in the last few years.
Oh, perhaps for a few francs French, but not for what they really cost. To feed an army of 40,000 takes more than just that.
Actually, we're very fortunate. This is a beautiful day today. It is sunny and clear, and this lake is sparkling. There is new snow around here. In fact, we almost fell on some ice when we came up here before. It's very interesting. This is one of the first passes to close in the Alps, and I think among the last ones to actually open.
And there have been some serious accidents by motorists who tried to get over the pass from the Italian side, not knowing that it was closed and being turned back at the Swiss frontier, and people have been killed on the way down. I mean, if you slither off this road, that's it. It's all over.
Va bene, facciamo una trasmissione per la Radio Svizzera Internazionale. Bene, grazie.
Italian border guard, just wondering what we're doing here. There's a Swiss border guard, well, maybe 150 feet on the Swiss side, wondering what we're doing. I guess they gather we're doing a radio program, just had to explain that to the Italians. Well, Aubrey, let's walk. I have now entered Switzerland officially. It's funny, even the pavement on the road changes. We'll be nearing the Swiss border guards in just a moment. Aubrey, you wrote a book that takes place right here. It's called The First Rains of Autumn.
And it's a historical novel. What is the basic story?
The basic story is about the fighting that takes place in this area in the winter of 1944-1945. It was a brutal struggle between fascists and Nazis and Italian partisans. They fought at high altitude. They fought during the snow. They destroyed many villages. They killed many people. And it all occurred in those dying days of the Second World War. And this particular pass is very important because a young Jewish partisan here by the name of Enrico Löwenthal actually held up a German column that wanted to escape into Switzerland with their arms.
Bonjour, monsieur. Radio Suisse Internationale, en anglais. Oui. Nous faisons une petite émission sur le col. Merci.
Merci.
That was Swiss customs. They just looked at us and gathered what we were doing was harmless. Okay, but this was an area during the war that was full of tension. I think there was not only the resistance, but the Germans were up here too in great force. And the Swiss, of course.
Well, there were definitely areas in which people were smuggled into Switzerland from Italy. Jews, for example, were smuggled not necessarily across this pass, but across the Alps, which we see here. What was interesting about wartime is that Enrico Löwenthal actually held up a German column of troops who were trying to give themselves up and be interned in Switzerland. And this was a little bit below the pass in the forest. He said that you're surrounded by partisans. In reality, there was only three of them. He said, give me all your guns, give me all your ammunition, and give me your vehicles, and I'll let you go over the pass tomorrow morning. And surprisingly, the Germans did it. And the next morning, they were afraid of being shot. And he told them, go back to Germany, tell your comrades you were saved by a Jew. He had the address of the officer. After the war, he met the officer in Munich. They exchanged visits, and more recently, he went to Munich to visit the officer's daughter, who just gave birth to a child. So the fortunes of war, for these men anyway, became fortunes of peace.
And these people are still around today?
Absolutely.
This pass will close in a couple of days. But there's something that stays open all the time, and that is the famous hospice, which bears the name of the place we are at. It's a monastery and hospice, and it has been here since the 11th century. And they also breed one of the world's most famous dogs, or at least breed of dogs, and they are certainly probably Switzerland's most famous breed of dogs as well. And they keep them, at least for the tourists. They don't have to, today, rescue people stranded up here, although there have been literally hundreds over the years, right? People who have been lost trying to cross the pass.
What happens here in the wintertime when it's closed is that there's skiers who come up because there's a big ski lift just before the tunnel, and then they take the lift to the top, they come over the mountains, they can stay at the hospice if necessary, and then they ski down to a very nice restaurant at Etrouble in Valle d'Aoste called
that's on the Italian side,
called Croix Blanche, and they eat there, then they take the bus back through the tunnel.
Let's go up here now. We're at the hospice, and it's not really open. Very little traffic actually going through at this point. Many people, I guess, still choose to take the tunnel, even though it costs, what is it these days, about $25 each way?
Yeah, a good $25, yeah.
Let's just poke our noses in here. This is the famous hospice, going back to the 11th century. And it is the home away from home of many, many tourists, climbers, and hikers who can come in here. These are Augustinian monks who have traditionally kept this place. And I read an interesting thing that since the 19th century, they actually have kept the bodies of people who were lost and died up here for the day when they might be identified. It sounds rather grotesque. They even kept them in their original clothing to help someone later on decide who these people were. And these monks are here all year round. I can only imagine how desolate it is.
It can be very beautiful in wintertime. You get a lot of sun here. After the storms, it's blue skies. And now it's less lonely because of the skiers who come through all winter long, particularly from Verbier. And it's well known as a skiing route to make this trip actually off the piste, and then to have a nice lunch down below, and then come back via the tunnel. So it isn't as lonely as it once was, but certainly this time of the year and in the springtime, yeah, it gets lonely. You have to be devoted to your faith, whatever that faith is and whatever you believe in.
This is a walker's and hiker's paradise. I think we will agree on that.
Well, there's from here you can go in many different directions. You can bicycle over the pass as well during the summer months, and many people do that now. It's sort of a vogue and a fashion. And in either case, once you reach the top, you have a good 30 to 40 kilometers of downhill. All you have to do is brake, and you arrive safely at your destination.
Well, this is a religious house, so we shouldn't stay too long in here. It's not really a radio studio. So let's go back outside on the street, which is the road going through. There is nothing else up here.
I hear they're looking for new monks all the time, so we've got to be careful in there.
Well, I know that there are many people, not only Roman Catholics, this is a staunchly Roman Catholic part of Switzerland, but many others as well who actually come here, as well as other places in the mountains, to, shall we say, find themselves, go into retreat.
Well, I think what's very important for all of us today is a type of spirituality, and certainly the mountains provide spirituality for those who care and love the mountains. And in that way, more and more people are finding a type of spirituality in the mountains that it's almost impossible to find in the big cities of the urbanized world, wherever you live today. And certainly it's much more peaceful here, and the beauty is of a very primitive nature, but it's a real beauty. And long after we're gone, the mountains are going to be here, the glaciers are going to be here, the streams are going to be flowing, and they have been here already for millions of years. So that's the type of spirituality that's available for anybody who wants to spend some time.
It's eternal, and it's certainly no coincidence that the monks of Europe, the yogis, the gurus, the sages of India have taken to the mountains. The Buddhist monks of Tibet take to the mountains. This is a spiritual experience. And one thing which has always struck me here, Aubrey, as we look at this ruggedness, the old Roman path and the original road, which has not changed, is still here. And there we're looking into another country. There is really so little here. There's snow piled up already. It's only the early fall.
September.
Exactly. We're recording this at the end of September, just before this goes on the air. And the fact is that this is a rugged place. And I have been here since 1964, off and on. And I am sure, Aubrey, your recollection goes back farther than mine. I don't believe it's changed at all.
No, hardly at all. It's exactly the same.
It's perpetual.
Yes. So I think you hit the nail on the head when you said eternal. It is really an eternal sort of place. And where when we traveled to tourist areas down below, you go back after 5-10 years, you can hardly recognize it because of the differences that have occurred, the changes that have taken place. Whereas here, when you come up here, you know where you are because it really hasn't changed that much, even though it's a major route way today across the Alps.
The mystique of this pass, the mystique of the Alps, the mystique of this intimate community between Italy and Switzerland in one of the world's most famous mountain passes, certainly by far one of the most famous mountain passes in all of Switzerland. Where have we been? Aubrey, thank you very much for being with us on the Name Game today and recalling and telling us about what you know about this place, which is substantial. This is Bob Zanotti from one of the world's most famous mountain passes between Italy and Switzerland, thanking you very much for being with us and wishing you best of luck playing the Name Game.
So where is Bob Zanotti located? Well, if you do know, let us know. hs@pcjmedia.com. That's hs@pcjmedia.com. Let's now have a little bit of classical, because many of you have been saying that we should play more of it. This is a recording that we've played before. It's of composer Giovanni Gabrielli, and it is called Music for San Rocco. And it's performed by the Gabrielli Consort and Players, directed by Paul McKeesh. And we're going to listen to the last movement from it, called Magnificata.
Thank you.
From composer Giovanni Gabrielli, music for San Rocco, performed by the Gabrielli Consort and Players, directed by Paul McKeesh, with Magnificat. I said Magnificate, but it's not the name of the song. I don't know why I said that. Anyway, you're listening to Happy Station, coming to you from PCJ Radio. Now, the other day I had a question that was asked for me from a domestic program that I do on the domestic network here in Taiwan, Central. And somebody said, why is it a lot of the older songs are not longer than 2 minutes? Now, for those who don't know this, I do host a nightly 3-hour jazz program that goes out 6 nights a week on domestic radio, which I do in English and Chinese. And then once a week I do a vintage program where I play all music from the 50s and 60s, popular hits from Australia, Britain, and the United States, and we'll choose a week and play all the hits from that week. And as you know, I mean, if you're doing that kind of chart show, you can play a lot of music in a short period of time, because all the songs, on average, are around 1 minute 50 seconds, at the longest, maybe 2 minutes and 20 seconds. And one of the listeners that we had sent me a question of, why is it a lot of this music is not longer than 2 minutes? And the simple reason, I mention that because one of listeners to this program asked me the same thing. And there is a reason for that, because at one time radio programmers thought that if a song is longer than, let's say, 2 minutes and 20 seconds, nobody will listen to it. And that was basically it. I think one of the first songs ever that started playing on Top 40 radio that was, well, I think it was around 4 minutes or just over 4 minutes, was actually a song by Frank Sinatra. The song was It Was a Very Good Year. And it was one of the early songs that clocked in at that amount of time. Of course, in, towards the late 60s and especially the early 70s, songs became a lot longer, to the point where occasionally there were two versions of the same song. One that comes to mind right away is Nights in White Satin by the Moody Blues. Actually, there's two versions of that. There was a radio edit that was like 1 minute and 50 seconds, and then the full-length version, which is actually quite a lot nicer, I have to say. And oddly enough, programmers thought it was a lot nicer and ended up playing the long version as well. Same thing with another song, what's it called? American Pie by Don McLean, which is like 6 or 7 minutes. Most radio programmers ended up playing the full-length version. I think we should play it one day. I know we have it somewhere. Nice song. Nice song. Anyway, let's move now to one of these short little songs. It's Herman's Hermits and No Milk Today.
No milk today, my love has gone away. The bottle stands forlorn, a symbol of the dawn. No milk today, it seems a common sight, but people passing by don't know the reason why. Could they know just what this message means? The end of my hopes, the end of all my dreams. How could they know the palace that I've been behind the door where my love reigned to scream? No milk today, it wasn't always so. The company was gay, we turn idle today. Company was gay, we turned night today. As music played, the faster did we dance. We felt it both at once, the start of our romance. How could they know just what this message means? The end of my hopes, the end of all my dreams. How could they know the palace there had been behind the door where my love reigned to scream? No milk today, my love has gone away. The bottle stands for love, a symbol of the dawn. But all that's left is a place dark and lonely. A terraced house in a mean street back of town becomes a shrine when I think of you only. Just too up, too down. No milk today, my love has gone away. The bottle stands for love, a symbol of the dawn. No milk today, it seems a common sight, but people passing by don't know the reason why. How could they know just what this message means? The end of my hopes, the end of all my dreams. How could they know the palace there had been behind the door where my love reigned as queen? No milk today, it wasn't always so. The company was gay, we turned night today.
Herman's Hermits, No Milk Today, coming up to almost 3 minutes. I lied. I lied? It was longer than two. Oh, well. Anyway, once again, if you wish to contact us, you know our email address. You can also, by the way, listen to this program again, as well as all past editions, by going to our website, www.pcjmedia.com. You can also, by the way, subscribe to this program in iTunes, which, if you then sync your iTunes with your iPod or iPad or your iPhone, it just transfers it right over so you can listen to us anytime. Now, some of you have been writing in saying that you've been having problem accessing the page to subscribe to it in iTunes. If you are having this problem, do let me know. I can't figure it out because when I checked it out myself, there was no problem at all. So, I don't know. I really don't know what to say. So if you are having this problem, do let me know and we'll see what we can do about it. Anyway, we still have time for one more song. Here's Fleetwood Mac and Gypsy. Fleetwood Mac and Gypsy. Guess what? We're now out of time. We have to leave you right now. Well, this time has just flown by. Usually does, actually. We record the show in one take, and I'm always surprised at how fast things go. Even on days that I'm feeling really lousy, when I have a throbbing headache, I'll come in, and then by the time when the program is ended, my headache is still throbbing, but I feel a little better because it went by really quickly. Anyway, that's it. That's all we have time for. So until next time, friends, so long. Au revoir. Auf Wiedersehen. Adios, amigos. And sayonara.